One of the things that we know from just our own experience is that humans are needy people. Humans are just needy in general. Perhaps it's, and Jane, I didn't mean to bring this up in relation to you and waiting for the twins, but perhaps you've been around somebody. I remember my sister having twins and how needy the twins were, right? And it's really evident when there's two of them. It's evident for us with our seven-month-old at times, and it's really evident when there's two of them how all the things that they need, they can't do for themselves. They need so much. They need food and rest and kind of to be burped at the right time and to have things broken down in the right way, and people are needy. But as you get older, you never really escape the state of being needy. You're maybe able to do more for yourselves, but we're still in such desperate need of things. I was thinking about even the galaxies and how many places there are in this, of all of the universe, and yet only one place is inhabitable for humans because of all the things that we need. Sometimes we hear people say, like, they don't need anything, but we need people. We need baseline people for service at grocery stores or ensuring that our houses receive water or fixing our electricity when it goes out or to pay for laborers or to purchase things from that we're in need of each other. But on a deeper level, we also need one another to encourage us, to grieve with us, to rejoice with us, to at times comfort us. And I think when we view ourselves as wholly independent, we miss an aspect of how God designed us. We are in need of one another. We're in need of comfort. Our triune God designed us to live in community with one another. We're designed in part to give and receive comfort from one another. 2 Corinthians 1, 3, and 4 gives us insight into that. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort that which we received ourselves from God. So God comforts his people, and then he tasks his people with comforting one another with the comfort that they received from God. We know that even more than being needy from one another, so often we are in need from God himself. So the last couple weeks, we've talked about our longings, our needs, our desires that are met in the person of Jesus Christ. It was first week of Advent, we discussed our longing to be right with God that can only come through the sacrifice of Jesus. And then in the second week, we talked about our longing for a king, for justice, to rule and to reign throughout the world and throughout the earth, somebody to reign with might and power, bringing justice out of Isaiah 9. And now this week, we're going to discuss our longing to be comforted first by God himself. See, much of the first 39 chapters of Isaiah, God had been dealing with his people who had strayed, and he was dealing with them and pronouncing this judgment that would come on. And if you know your kind of Old Testament history, we know that the northern and southern kingdom were both captured by Assyria and by Babylon at different times over the course of a couple of hundred years, and they were dispersed and they would go through a time of great difficulty. And so it's when we receive this chapter of Isaiah 40 in light of the suffering that God's people were enduring, we see God's intention of bringing comfort to his people. See, oftentimes in times of trial and persecution or difficulty, we look for rest in various things. We don't always look to God for the comfort that he provides. We might find escape during trials by spending time with friends or with others, or eating good food, or finding a place to rest. But really, the greatest and the deepest comfort that we could ever receive in times of trials comes from God himself. God also uses people to comfort through. So here in this passage, we're going to talk about some of the comforting truths from Scripture, and we're just going to point out a few of them. This passage is too large for me to preach through exhaustively, but it's too good for me not to read the whole chapter. So we're going to be in Isaiah 40 and verses 1 through 31. I'd asked Neil going into this week on Monday, we were talking, and I said, can you give me kind of something of comfort from this passage? Like, what stands out to you? Well, he said, you know, I was just saying comforting truth. So he came up with 12 of them rather than one. I think that you could find more than 12, even if you were to look. And so there's no shortage of comforting truths in this passage of Isaiah. Let's start reading together. I'll read in verse 1. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Real quick, I won't do this throughout the whole passage or else we won't get through it, but could you imagine after you've been exiled, you've been taken away, you've been stripped from all of what it means to be really a Jew at that time, from your country,